You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host, your Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rig website to see the articles that Adam King is pumping out and to check out prior podcasts. Today is day two in the saga that we're doing with the Scoop and the collab episodes we're doing with the Scoop and Seth Tobel. Make sure to check out the Scoop's website and to check out the content that they have going up there as well. Also, make sure to check out the other Locked On sites that are doing NBA coverage right now in the playoffs. You have the Locked On Rockets, Locked On Warriors, Locked On Cavaliers, and Locked On Celtics. All of those stations are pumping out great content and doing great work. And make sure to also check out myself on Twitter at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y, to see what I'm doing as far as written content, also prior podcasts on there as well. Check out all that good stuff. Plenty of content headed into the playoff season. Yesterday, of course, we're talking about the offseason for the Timberwolves, doing a little bit of a continuation on that topic, as well as talking about playoff basketball, where LeBron heads after the season, all that good stuff. We packed a lot into just a couple of segments here with Seth, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on any of that, so check out and enjoy the rest of that content. Here you go. Enjoy the show.
And we're back for segment two with Colton Molesky of the Locked On Wolves podcast. And Colton, we were talking about some various things that the Wolves should try to check off their list here this offseason. Of course, the NBA playoffs still going on. And we've got the final four teams left, and Boston already with a 1-0 lead in their series after pretty thoroughly throttling the Cleveland Cavaliers. Houston and Golden State play tonight. And we talked a little bit about it at the beginning of the show today, just what Boston was able to do. But I can't say enough how impressive it is to see what Boston is doing, considering they lost Kyrie Irving and also Gordon Hayward, but they have a lot of great young talent and have really been maximizing those guys here so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, it is crazy to think that they are going to get back two All-Stars next season that were injured this year in like you said, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. It's crazy that they're able to pull guys and expect so much. I mean, you look at the players that they have. You have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who I think are stars in the making and who are going to be good for a very long time. But you're asking players like Marcus Smart to constantly switch out of a role from a key player to somebody who's going to be more of a role player. You got guys Marcus Morris, they have down games. You had Marcus Morris, I think, what did he have? He shot like 0-for-8 or something in that last game against the 76ers. And then he comes out, plays 34 minutes, has 24 points, shoots 58%. These guys are not only performing, I would think, above expectations, but they're also doing a great job filling in for a role. They're not consistently having to do everything every single game. You're not looking for two guys to do everything. You're not expecting Rozier or Tatum or Horford and Jaylen Brown to do everything every single game. You've got guys flipping in and out of not only if they're going to be great that game or if they're going to be a dominant force that game, but also what they're doing in each game. And that just is a testament to Brad Stevens and the coaching job he's done with these guys.
What does Cleveland need to do in order to bounce back in game two?
I think that you need to have more support from the cast around LeBron. I think that he is I know he is amazing in the playoffs. I know that he is the best basketball player in the world, and you saw that against the Toronto Raptors. You saw that against the Indiana Pacers. And playoff LeBron is a totally different beast than regular season LeBron. That said, the Celtics made their name on defense all season long, and they ended up with one of the best defensive ratings in the NBA. They ended up right near the top at number one in defensive rating, 101.5 per 100 possessions with a defensive rating through 82 games in the regular season. So you need to do more than just give LeBron the ball in these games, especially if that's going to be your plan all game long. LeBron James was really the only one who was doing anything throughout this game, and he only had 15 points and 7 rebounds. He had 9 assists, really close to a playoff triple-double again. But you didn't see much from the supporting cast around it. When he's drawing all the double teams that he was yesterday, you need to see guys like Kyle Korver, guys like Kevin Love, who had 17 points, but he only shot 35%. You need guys like a J.R. Smith, who had 4 points and shot 22%. You need a guy like Jeff Green or Rodney Hood or Jordan Clarkson, any one of those guys off the bench. You need somebody to knock down shots and play well, especially when LeBron is drawing so much of that defense. And the Boston Celtics made it clear they're going to try and go out and hold LeBron down and hold him in check and do the best they can with that difficult task and kind of challenge the rest of the Cavaliers roster to step up and play well around him. And yesterday they didn't. And you saw in the Pacers series that they have the ability to bounce back from some poor play early in a series. So you know they have it in them. The question is, can they step up to the challenge? You saw throughout the regular season, actually. The Cavaliers had 2 runs of 10-game win streaks, but they also, I think it was 2 runs of 7-game losing streaks, I believe they had throughout the regular season. So this is a streaky team that can go either way. And right now it's important for LeBron to get them back on task if they're going to come out strong in a game too.
We look at the Western Conference Finals as well, Golden State and Houston, that will get underway tonight. And Houston has been able to do enough to win their first 2 playoff series. They shot a lot of attempts against the Wolves and also against the Jazz, so shooting percentage is not particularly high, but it helps when you got James Harden and then Chris Paul, so that if one is struggling, the other can step up. But then you look at Golden State, and they are finally healthy, and everybody is clicking after what they were able to do to both the Spurs and the Pelicans. Who do you think has the best chance, Colton, to jump out to that 1-0 lead after tonight's game?
I really think it is the Warriors. I love this series because it is isolation basketball and really well-played isolation basketball in the Rockets versus the pass-heavy around the perimeter Warriors, and it is the high pace of the Warriors versus the slower pace of the Rockets in their isolation ball. This is going to be a really fun series to watch. I think the Warriors have the edge, especially in Game 1, because I think they have an ability to hit their ceiling, and I think that they can consistently get to their ceiling of play better than the Rockets. If you're looking at the Rockets, you know that James Harden can have a solid game, you know that Chris Paul can have a solid game, and you know both those guys can even hit the next level and have just a great game and have a fantastic performance. I'm not sure about the rest of the roster, though. I like Clint Capella, but you haven't seen guys like Eric Gordon or Trevor Ariza or Ryan Anderson or Gerald Green. You've seen those pieces individually have some solid games, but you haven't seen them collectively. If this team is going to really blow away or hit their ceiling and stand a chance against the Warriors, you need a collection of at least 2 or 3 of those guys to perform well with James Harden and Chris Paul. And I haven't seen a really full or close to complete team performance for the Rockets. Again, I think that they can hit that when they do it in the first couple rounds. The question is, are they going to hit that stride in the playoffs against the Warriors? And the Warriors, you've seen the Warriors hit their stride last season. You've seen them hit their stride in the playoffs this season, playing as a team and all collectively putting up a fantastic performance. They trounced in a couple games against the Pelicans. They trounced the Pelicans by a lot of points. And so you know that they can hit that stride. the question is, can the Rockets reach that level? And I'm not sure if they can. And so when you're playing a team like the Warriors, then I would give the edge to the Warriors, especially in game one, when the Warriors are, I think, going to go out and prove that they're still the number one team in the NBA despite seeding.
Colton, let's look at just some bigger off-season topics for the NBA as we kind of round out things here today. Of course, the Kawhi Leonard saga will be addressed at some point, and it certainly looks like he's going to be traded. Is there any team that jumps out as the seeming favorite destination for Leonard if he is indeed dealt this offseason?
I honestly have no idea what is going to happen with that. That what a strange, confusing, peculiar story all season long.
Yeah.
Watching that play out over the course of a season, it's been crazy, right? It's been absolute craziness watching that develop from a team that is usually so buttoned up in the San Antonio Spurs. He obviously has the last year on his contract still, but I don't know if you can bring him back after everything that's been said and done. So the question now is, where does Kawhi want to go? I think if the situation that's going to play out very similar to the situation that played out with Kyrie Irving, where he kind of is going to give them a list of places he wants to play for. Otherwise, if they trade him anywhere else, he's not going to re-up, which really kills his trade value if you know that he's not going to re-up the next year. And so I think what will happen is that it'll get kind of leaked out that he has a few teams that he would really like to go to, and then the Spurs are going to try and attempt to figure it out from there. Really tough situation for the Spurs, and honestly, with the guys talking in Kawhi's ear that has led him to these kind of decisions, I really don't know what they're going to be saying and what team will result in him kind of the desired location. So I know this is not a great answer from the guy you have calling into your show, but I mean, people, hold on to your seats, because there's a lot of teams that he could end up on, and it's going to be a mess trying to get there. While the Spurs are going to try and not to take a bath trading him away after just a really travesty of a season with Kawhi and dealing with this injury.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fine for an answer, because there really is no way to know what's going to happen with this. So we're just going to have to wait and see how it all plays out. And I have a feeling it's probably going to go away that none of us expect. So
there is the other option of this doesn't go the way the Kyrie Irving situation went, and they just say, you know what, we don't care what you want. You're still under contract and you're still playing for us, and they keep him, which it would offer up a whole other set of scenarios and craziness that would happen if they keep him on the roster, which they have every right to do because he still is under contract.
Yeah, that would be the other option as well. So we'll see how it all happens. I don't know if it'll be solved by, say, the draft, but at some point in the offseason, we'll get a resolution. And another big player that we'll have a resolution for, of course, is LeBron, who could theoretically leave Cleveland if he decides he's kind of maxed things out in Cleveland. He could opt to head to the Western Conference. There are a whole lot of different scenarios for LeBron. At the end of the day, though, Colton, do you think LeBron is more likely to go or stay?
I think he's more likely to go. I think that he feels that, or he will feel, if he doesn't already, that things have kind of run their course in Cleveland, and that he's done what he can there. It's been said plenty of times, but this is definitely the worst roster he's had in quite some time, maybe ever, around him. And I think with that kind of in perspective, knowing that there's not a lot of moves that he can make to really jumpstart this roster into greatness to make them a team that could beat somebody like the Warriors next season, I think that means that he will look elsewhere to try and make that title run again next year. And so I think he is for sure leaving.
Houston would be a great fit. That's all I'm saying.
Houston has a whole cap situation. They would have to really ravage their bench and to try and make space for him and figure out a way to get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract. I know the Lakers are a team that has been the popular pick, at least at the beginning of the season. It was but there you're dealing with a lot of young pieces, and I don't know if LeBron would be going from a much better situation unless you knew that Paul George was either going to the team or he was already on the roster. And so that would be a big question mark. You have the 76ers was thrown around a lot, and you have reports saying that they're going to go for him. They're going to go for Kawhi and Paul George. I'm not sure. It could work for the 76ers to have Embiid and to have James playing on the same team. I don't know how you have Simmons on that team. Maybe that forced him into becoming a great shooter, but his passing ability and his size and defensive kind of prowess that he has and brings to that team and brings to the point guard spot, I think a lot of that diminishes when he's playing alongside LeBron, who's going to look to do a bunch of those things. And so I'm not sure if you want to stunt the growth of one of your stars in Ben Simmons by bringing in LeBron James when you could go out and get Paul George. So that'll be interesting to see how it develops. You know where I want him to go. You know, I think that he would be really great on the Milwaukee Bucks, but I know that's not happening. I know that for a fact is not happening.
Yeah, that I think would be very, very intriguing to put him on that roster, put him alongside Giannis. But I think it's more likely that LeBron heads to L.A. And tries to kind of build up something there. So, again, with that, we'll see as well. And
if you're looking at L.A., do you like the Clippers more, or do you like the younger roster and the Lakers? Because the Clippers have some guys who are interesting pieces, and you look at the injuries they had, really was kind of the season from hell for the Clippers. They do have some interesting pieces. You have like an Avery Bradley, he could come back. You have Tobias Harris. Patrick Beverley would be healthy. He was a solid defensive piece. You have some young guys. You have the Montrezl Harrell. You have some pieces, Lou Williams. You have some pieces, some proven pieces. You know what you're going to get from them, some solid roster positions on there. If they can somehow not only grab LeBron James, but also kind of send a sales pitch to Paul George that he can come to L.A. and not be a Laker as well, do you think that could be an interesting place, or is it kind of the Lakers or not L.A. at all?
Well, I think the Clippers can certainly put together an interesting sales pitch. They've got that was one of the reasons that they brought in some help in the front office, was to be able to counter the seemed favorites in the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think they're going to definitely be able to put an attractive offer together. And another thing, I don't know how much this is going to factor in, because we really haven't heard anything from him in quite some time, is would LeBron want to be potentially butting heads with LeVar Ball? Is that going to be something that weighs into his decision? I don't know how much of a factor that'll be, though, because like I said, we haven't heard anything from him in a while. So, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's an entirely different show. But it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And that does kind of tie into my final off-season question I wanted to ask you here, Colton. You mentioned Paul George, and he certainly seems destined to go to Los Angeles. Do you think that ends up then leading to more of a teardown for Oklahoma City if George does indeed decide that he's headed west?
Well, that's an interesting thing, right? I mean, Paul George would be kind of a key piece that you're losing. That said, you still have Carmelo Anthony, take that for what it's worth, under contract for next season, and you just signed Russell Westbrook to that long, 5-year contract that was quite hefty the other year. So you have an all-star in Russell Westbrook around for a little while, and you do have Carmelo Anthony on the roster still, even if Paul George leaves. You have Andre Roberson, who I know isn't a great offensive piece, but he is a really good defensive player. You still have Steven Adams. So I think right now it would almost be easier to try and trade away some role players or try and make some moves to get some younger pieces, some pieces that you can get on the cheap, and just try and put young talent around some still very solid pieces and an all-star in Russell Westbrook. I think that's the better move than blowing it up, because I think if you try and blow it up and just go for the tank job and go for draft picks and high lottery picks, I think you end up kind of losing value and getting robbed on pieces like Russell Westbrook, like Steven Adams, like Andre Roberson. And so if you do try and blow it up and just start from scratch, I think you end up losing more than you're getting, whereas right now I think you can make some moves for some younger pieces and some really young guys that would be developmental pieces to put alongside some good players. And I think right there that is the move and kind of the slow build to the future, as opposed to just trying to start from scratch right away.
Yeah, I think that's the right play as well for the Thunder. But regardless, those are just a few of the seemingly endless off-season topics that we're going to have here. So it is going to be an incredibly frantic off-season, and I would expect that we'll see some of the things that we talked about happen, but we'll also see a bunch that we didn't get to or that we didn't even expect happen, because a lot of these pieces are connected, and depending on how one thing plays out, that could certainly have an impact on three or four others. So it's going to be fascinating, and I appreciate you coming on the show here today, Colton, to help us kind of break it down a little bit. Before we go, though, I do want to give a chance again for listeners to have you let the listeners know where they can find all of your work as we push through the off season.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Go and check out the Locked On Wolves podcast. Really, wherever you download your podcast, I'll probably be up there. We're on Spotify, iTunes, all sorts of places. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves FanRig website as well for Locked On Wolves content. Adam King is writing articles. There's also prior podcasts on there. And make sure to check out, we have specific podcasts covering every playoff team. Locked On Rockets, Locked On Cavaliers, Locked On Celtics, and the Locked On Warriors podcast. Go check out all of those sites. The Locked On Celtics and the Locked On NBA podcast actually were top 200 podcasts for last month. So go check out those podcasts. Really great shows from some really great hosts to get you properly prepared for every single aspect of the NBA playoffs.
Outstanding, Colton. Thanks so much for joining the Scoop today. We'll definitely do this again throughout the offseason if any big news happens. And until then, enjoy the playoffs, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.